Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
A walk through Proverbs. Tonight, the pathway to wisdom. We're going to be looking at an overview, introduction to the Proverbs. Proverbs are kind of neat that there's 31 of them. So if you want to have a nice daily devotion, look at the calendar, go by the date, and you know where you're at. It's easy to remember. And certainly a wonderful, wonderful book. I don't think you'll like the rest of Scripture. You'll never exhaust it. A proverb, in the original sense of superiority in mental action. I like that definition. It's a pithy maxim, usually of metaphorical nature, an adage, poem, discourse, byword, parable, proverb. You're all familiar with the Proverbs. It's a series of freestanding truths, different from the other passages of the Bible. Let us read verses 1 through 6, and we're going to take a look at the overview of the Proverbs. Chapter 1, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of knowledge, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear, will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Let me quote, a proverb, strictly speaking, is a short moral sentence which means something further than what the words literally imply. Most of Solomon's proverbs are rather to be called maxims or sentences. The characteristic feature of this kind of writing is brevity. Much thought in a small compass, as in a seed is contained the whole power of vegetation, which is to produce the tree. And the obscurity attendant on these words of the wise and their dark sayings is not altogether without its uses. It whets the understanding, excites an appetite for knowledge, and keeps alive the attention by the labor of investigation, giving an increased pleasure to the discovery of truth by having called forth our efforts to attain it. I came up with some man-made proverbs. It's better to sleep on what you plan to do than to be kept awake by what you've done. Never insult an alligator until you've crossed the river. There is always an easy solution to every human problem, neat, plausible, and wrong. He who rides a tiger must make plans for dismounting. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Never wrestle with a pig. You will both get dirty, and the pig likes it. No one ever got rid of an old car because it ran too well. And I like this one. Genius has limits. Stupidity does not. Proverbs. Short sayings with incredible truth for much meditation. Let us start out with verses 1 to 4 and let us glean truths there. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. 9 key words are set forth in those 4 verses that are throughout the Proverbs that we will hear again and again. Wisdom. Skillfulness, the ability to use knowledge correctly. It occurs 37 times in this one book. Instruction is used to translate a Hebrew word which occurs 26 times in the Proverbs. It means to teach by discipline, The word is also translated chasteneth or chastening. Understanding is a word seldom found in Scripture and has the force of to bereave, to miscarry. The sayings of bereavement might not exactly express the thought, but it conveys the idea of learning through the unhappy experiences of oneself or another. Justice refers to conduct and might be rendered right behavior or righteousness. Judgment is equivalent to decisions. It is the ability to try the things that differ. Equity refers to principles rather than conduct. It is uprightness or moral integrity. Subtlety, or often translated prudence, is craftiness in the original, and used here it conveys the ability to detect that in others. When Christ commanded his disciples to be wise as serpents, he may have had the concept of subtlety there. Knowledge, the information of sound character. Discretion or thoughtfulness. The young generally lack this characteristic. Hence, how many times does the Proverbs cry out, "My son, my son"? Discretion is displayed by one who feeds on the Word of God. These 9 words describe a well-rounded character produced only by the study and practice of God's truth. Let's consider the importance of spirituality as we think about the Proverbs. True wisdom is based upon the fear of God. Take a look at it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The beginning. There are people that deny God exists. People have no fear of God. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. This is why it is so important that we teach spirituality, not morality. You have to make people spiritual based upon the Word of God. If we teach them morality, they may not necessarily become spiritual, but if we teach spirituality, they will be moral. Because we have to be careful who defines morality. In the Proverbs, we see truths telling us this is how life works. We don't tell God how life works. No, let me rephrase that. We should not tell God how life works. God tells us. It's for us to change and to comply, to adhere to the truths in the Word. The only thing that works is when we do things God's way. Even a believer, though, is considered a fool when he doesn't adhere to God's Word. And you remember what is bound in the heart of a child? Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Was everybody in this room a child at one time? Therefore, we are all fools by default. Hit the reset button and guess what? We're all fools. We all need the Proverbs and the Word of God. Let's consider the benefits of the instructions from the Proverbs. To receive, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Did you know God wants you, me, and every person to succeed in life? He really does. He doesn't want us to walk around fretting, frustrated, aimlessly, without purpose, wondering what's going to happen. He wants us to truly know Him, to understand the will that He has for our personal life, and to be fulfilled and satisfied in it. That's real. God wants us to do that. He doesn't expect that one day we're going to wake up in glory and all of a sudden He's going to say, "Did you know what I had for you?" He wants us to know it now. Do you think it's okay that I know that I'm supposed to be the pastor of this church? I don't mean that to sound funny, but sometimes there are people who just don't get it. What's your purpose in life? God wants you to know that. For what end were written the Proverbs? Not to gain the reputation of an author. or strengthen his interest among his subjects, but for the use and benefit of all in every age and place will govern themselves by the dictates and study them closely. Do you realize these truths are timeless? We live in a world that in the last 100 years has changed beyond comprehension, and the truths of the Proverbs are still valid. We still need the truths that are embedded in this book. Therefore, the Proverbs will help us to form right notions of things and to possess our minds with clear and distinct ideas of them, that we may know wisdom and instruction. We need to read this book because it's going to help us to distinguish between truth and falsehood, good and evil, to perceive the words of understanding, to apprehend them, to judge them, to guard against mistakes, and to accommodate what we are taught to ourselves and for our own use, that we may discern things that differ and not be imposed upon, and may approve things that are excellent and not lose the benefit of them. God wants us to have a brain that works. We need the book of Proverbs in order to help our conversation or our behavior to make it right in all things. Every day our conduct should be based upon the principles of Scripture, and here, case in point, upon the Proverbs. Human interaction, attitudes before God, personal goals and desires should be in line with the Scriptures. And I want us to see our fourth key point in these opening verses, the personal responsibility. Verse 5, a wise man will hear. You have to apply yourself. He will hear and will increase in learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Apply yourself. It's not magic. Ask God to open your understanding. Apply yourself to the Word. Listen. Take every opportunity you can to learn more and more. The proverb may not be easy to understand. That's why it says in verse 6, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Sometimes a proverb can seem puzzling. What? And you read it and you wonder what? And you ask God to open your understanding? But folks, listen. The Scriptures need illumination of the Holy Spirit for us to understand it. Paul wrote that to the church at Ephesus in chapter 1. He said he prayed for the people of Ephesus that God would open the understanding. God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Look at it there in Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently. The dark sayings open up, and you start to see truths, and truths build upon more truths, and truths build upon more truths, and on, and you never exhaust the Word of God. But it does take spiritual illumination, and sometimes the dark sayings will puzzle you for some time. Keep going. And slowly but surely, God will illuminate you if you stay faithful. Who is it written to? It's written to the Son. We see it in Proverbs 1:8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father. It's written to all children, Proverbs 4:1, hear ye children. It's written to everyone, Proverbs 8:4, unto you, O men, I call my voice to the Son. Sons of men. He writes to the simple and he writes to the fools. When we consider the content and the subject matter in the Proverbs, when it talks to sons, it's talking to grown people pretty much ready to start to go out on their own to enter society. And they're going to have to start to make their own decisions about life. And he's pleading with his son, my son, my son. The Proverbs are various types of short statements. They're fun to read. Although they can be grouped together, they can stand alone without context. They're a little snippet that you can take, and there's a whole lot of truth in there. And they have timeless words applicable to all of us. "My boy," said the store owner to his new employee, "wisdom and integrity are essential to the retail business. By integrity, I mean if you promise a customer something, you have got to keep that promise, even if it means we lose money." "And what," asked the teenager, "is wisdom?" "That," answered the boss, "is not making any stupid promises." A proverb. "Wise" and "wisely" are used many times in the Proverbs. In the New Testament, we are told to be conformed to the image of Christ in Romans 8. That is likened in the Old Testament to wisdom. If you're wise, you're Christ-like. Key phrase also in this book is the fear of the Lord. It occurs 14 times. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord. We ought to fear God. Not a dreadful fear of terror, but rather one of great respect and reverence. One where we would not want to disappoint our Heavenly Father. We have a healthy, God-honoring fear. There are four authors, if you will. Solomon, of course, Proverbs 1:1, the Proverbs of Solomon. And you see that again in Proverbs 10:1. The Proverbs of Solomon. Let us flip back just a second here as we look in 1 Kings at the life of Solomon as he is taking the throne. David, his father, has died. And we have this insight to Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29. "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the East Country and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Nathan, than Ezrahite, and Heman, and Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol. And his fame was in all nations round about. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spake of trees, from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beasts and of fowl and of creeping things and of fishes." A brilliant man. God gave him wisdom. And we have here recorded for us those proverbs. I don't think we have the exhaustive list. Maybe I'm wrong. But I know this. We have the ones God wants us to have. That I am sure of. And so it is, we have Solomon as one of the authors, but we also have in Proverbs 30, verse 1, the words of Augur. We have there a chapter of his words. And then we have in Proverbs 31, the words of King Lemuel. So we have three, but then if we look at Proverbs 22:17, "Bow down thine ear, hear the words of the wise." Could there have been many more? Possibly. I guess in one sense it doesn't really matter. Just kind of fun to think about, because whether Solomon wrote it or there are more, the point is God's God's Word, and we'll learn from it. By looking at Proverbs 25:1, we can get a little bit of a glimpse when this was written. These are also Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. So we have the time of the southern kingdom, Judah, Solomon being the third king, Saul, David, Solomon, and then Hezekiah towards the very end of the kingdom, he had men copy them out. So I would perceive that Solomon and these others wrote, these other gentlemen were just scribes or something, to write them down for us. But it gives us, though, a little bit of a time frame so we could go back in the scriptures and read what the events were and what was life like while these were being written. Solomon had great wisdom. To go back to 1 Kings chapter 3, we would see where in a dream the Lord came to him and offered him, "Now that you are the king, what do you ask?" And he said he asked for wisdom to rule the people.
And God said, since you have not asked for anything except that, I will give you great wisdom and I will also give you riches and honor. But he set out to be a good king. And folks, isn't this what we would like to see in our government? Men and women who want nothing more than to be in the fear of God and do things God's way for the benefit of the people. Because righteousness is what exalts a nation. It doesn't matter what college background you have. Where do you stand before God Almighty? Because God takes a godly man and blesses his efforts. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Samson did his great works when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. We need men and women in government who are going to yield themselves to the Scriptures. And so it is, Solomon has this incredible wisdom. Look at 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 34. His wisdom traveled far, and there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kings of the earth which had heard of his wisdom. He was brilliant, and his word traveled, and his reputation. Of course, one of the more notable ones, the Queen of Sheba, came to hear and to try him. From Solomon, though, we also see he had weaknesses because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In 1 Kings 11:3, he, Solomon, had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Let us learn a couple simple lessons here. All have sinned, including Solomon, the wisest man, to have walked this earth. I also want us to learn from this, God uses sinners. Solomon was a sinner. God still used him greatly. And we also have to learn this. If Solomon can go astray, we can all go astray. We must be ever so cautious. The Proverbs include wisdom and instruction for daily life. Warnings about immorality and sexual impurity, bad companions, fighting, lying, dishonesty in business. The Proverbs includes condemnation for laziness, pride, gossip, seeds of discord. And the Proverbs also contain praise for those that give to those in need, those that have the fear of the Lord. It gives praise for obedient children. The Proverbs covers all aspects of our daily lives. Let us consider some divisions of the book. It's not to be understood as a whole unit. It's different. There are four main sections that are broken out usually based upon who wrote it. Proverbs chapter 1 through chapter 9 could be called fatherly wisdom to his son. Proverbs 10 through Proverbs 24, wisdom and godliness compared to fools. Take a look at Proverbs 10:1 there. That section starts with the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. And then after that section, we have Proverbs 25 through Proverbs 29, talking about the Proverbs of Solomon copied by Hezekiah's men. And you see that in Proverbs 25:1. So Proverbs 25 through Proverbs 29, the Proverbs of Solomon copied by Hezekiah's men. And then we have Proverbs 30, the Proverbs of Augur, and Proverbs 31, the Proverbs of Lemuel. Now I want us to stand back also and see a little more detailed outline, particularly in Proverbs 1 through 9. The overwhelming theme, get wisdom, Proverbs chapter 1, Proverbs 2, avoid sexual sin, Proverbs 3, get wisdom. Proverbs 4, get wisdom. Proverbs 5, avoid sexual sin. Proverbs 6, instructions in wisdom. The back half of Proverbs 6, avoid sexual sin. Proverbs 7, heed wisdom to avoid sexual sin. Proverbs 8, get wisdom. Proverbs 9, avoid sexual sin. And throughout the theme, it's the father talking to his son, who obviously with that mature content there, he is telling his son, now you're going to start making decisions in life, son. Think. Think. You're a big boy now. The temptations are going to be there. We're going to cover those. We're also going to take a look in our study in 10 through 24. These are proverbs of wisdom and godliness compared to fools, usually in two parts, contrasting good with evil. How we're going to cover that, though, is we're not going to go through it verse by verse, obviously not tonight. But what we're going to do is, as you go through those proverbs, for example, you will find it talks about laziness. And then you go on, and then it talks about laziness. And then you go on, and it talks about laziness. We're going to gather those major themes. Rather than doing a message on laziness, and then a few weeks later doing a message on laziness. You got the point? So we're going to kind of bundle them together to make it a little more meaningful. The foundational principle is that the right life is not merely a moral life, but the life that is lived towards God. The supreme folly in life is to leave God out. Hence, the book is not simply a collection of worldly maxims, but a source of spiritual insight. The virtues taught are those which make for individual and national strength, honesty, industry, purity, sobriety, moderation, faithfulness, diligence, prudence, impartiality, humility, contentment, and all are based upon the fear of the Lord. The literary structure is comparatively loose. We are not generally to expect any connection to the sentences in this book of Proverbs. Other parts of Scripture are like a rich mine where the precious ore runs along one continued vein. But the Proverbs is like a heap of pearls, which, though they are unstrung, are not therefore the less excellent and valuable. They can stand alone. And did you know this? We still have access to the same wisdom that Solomon had. Because we still have the Bible. We still have these Proverbs, and we still have God, who says in James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, and who in this room doesn't lack wisdom at times, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. As we take a look at this book of incredible wisdom, let us remember, the Old Testament uses the word wisdom. Its counterpart in the New Testament could easily be Christ-likeness. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you. If we saturate ourselves with the Proverbs, we will saturate ourselves with the Word. And Jesus Christ was the Word. We will be like Christ.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.